I want to be the first to say happy Epiphany to all of you. For those of you who are not church nerds like myself, Epiphany is a church holiday that everybody around the world right now is celebrating. It is a time where the church comes together to collectively hit reset. It is where we come back together to recognize the epiphany that has taken place in Jesus Christ, the amazing revelation that is meant to hit us and stop us in our tracks, that one light bulb moment that whenever it was for you in your past, when you woke up to this new life in Christ, today is the day that we kind of do that together as a church. And we say, oh my gosh, look what we have in Jesus Christ. Look what God has done. Look what God is doing. Look what God is going to do. It's where the church shakes off the cobwebs, gets rid of the grave cloths, and stands strong and recognizes who we are in Christ, knowing what we have and reminding ourselves of the amazing joy of the adventure of following Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to have that epiphany at times. Anybody else in here need that reminder? I think you do, right? Josh, when he was leading us, I don't know if he planned it, but he began to sing, "Returning to this first love." My goodness, Epiphany is all about the first love, coming together to recognize that we are called to be passionate followers of Jesus, that no matter what has come, no matter what's in the way of it, today we strip it away and say we are followers of Christ, full of joy, ready to lead, ready to be the salt and the light of the earth that our world needs. That's the day of Epiphany. It's where we recognize the revelation that's taken place. But for so many of us, we need to have that revelation take place again. And today's the day. The church around the globe is doing that collectively together. Now, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been in a place where you've wondered and recognized this angst within you where you think, okay, God, where are you leading me, and where the heck are you in the journey? Okay, have you ever wondered two of those questions? Have you ever been in part of life where things happen, curveballs come, and you think, what are you up to? Where are you at in the midst of this, right? That was Israel as a whole, all the way up until we celebrated Christmas 2 weeks ago. They were wondering, God, where are you? What are you doing? What is it that you're trying to do with this nation, this people that you love as your own, the people of Israel? And so Jesus is born, so the mystery kind of comes on the scene, like, okay, here he is, God's doing something, here's the Messiah. We know that all the way through Christmas, you know, we recognize the 12 days of Christmas, if any of you are old-fashioned, you know, on the 12 days of Christmas. Okay, I know you're all ready to move on, but I'm sorry, we're still in that mode a little bit, okay? So just bear with me. I see some of you guys are like, no, I'm done. I'm ready for the new year. I get it, okay? But Christmas season is here. It's the mystery of Christ. Advent was that season of hope and waiting, but now Epiphany is where we recognize, oh, this is what you're doing, God. This is where you're at. Because you see, all of Israel wondered. They watched, they waited to see what God was up to. They collectively asked, just like you do, God, what are you doing with my life? Where are you leading me? How does this fit into what you're trying to do? How does this event fit into who you're calling me to become? You see, those same cries that we have, those same curious wonderings that we have that stir within us, Israel had as a nation, as a people. But God came and brought revelation. God came and brought everything collectively together to show them, this is who you are now in my Son. This is where I'm leading you because of my Son. This is who you are called to be because of my Son. And you see, for you and I, we need to have that same revelation. We need to look and recognize on this day of revelation, this day of Epiphany, we need to recognize that who we were is different now because of Jesus Christ, sinners saved by grace. That who we are in the present moment is different because of Jesus Christ and where he's leading us by his Spirit. And where our future is heading is different now because of Jesus Christ and where he's leading us. You see, this morning is a really simple message to kick off our 2019 year. Next Sunday, we'll begin a new series called Jesus the Radical. That's the goal. And today is really a simple coming together to recognize what needs to take place within us. And every time I've prayed about this new year, I have prayed for 2019. I've prayed for your family, for all of you, for your marriages. The one thing that God's put my heart over and over and over is the phrase from Isaiah, which we're going to jump into this morning, which is arise and shine. Your light is dawning. Arise and shine. Your light is dawning. It's a phrase that speaks volumes in Scripture. It's a phrase that's meant to lift you up, to bring you out of where you were, and to prepare you to walk into something that is new. We were with some friends watching when the ball dropped, you know, 2019, the New York City Times Square ball, and it comes down, and everyone celebrates. I kid you, no joke, I had Michelle on my right, you know, gave a little kiss right at midnight. That's what you're supposed to do, okay? But man, when that ball dropped, and I saw 2019, I swear to you, promise to you, I had chills up and down. I had goosebumps. Because when I saw the numbers, 2019, what I saw was a fresh and new beginning. For me, for you, for us. Because there's something about a blank slate that gives you this excitement and encouragement to remember, oh yes, here we go. It's a new beginning. Let's go, God. Let's get going with this. And I felt that. And I believe that phrase, arise and shine, is so appropriate for you today. Because you have in front of you an entire new year. We have in front of us as a church family an entire new year. What will we do? What will you do? What's gonna happen? See, so often we focus on where we'll be this year or what we're going to accomplish this year, but I want to challenge you as the Church of Jesus Christ, keeping that phrase arise and shine in mind, I want to challenge you with one obsession for this new year as you walk into it. Not so much where will I go, what will I do, but let your obsession, let your challenge be, how much am I going to grow into the person of Jesus Christ this year? That's it. That's the bread and butter of our lives. It's seeing that what we have in front of us is a blank slate to grow more in love, to grow more in giving forgiveness, to grow more in caring about others, to grow more in clinging not to selfishness, but embracing selflessness, to be there for other people like our Savior. But for many of us, we gotta rise and shine and get to that place, because we're not there. We're stuck. We've gone through battles. We've been in tough times, but man, the Holy Spirit calls out to you, and he says to you, do you not know what I'm trying to do? Will you please rise? Will you shine with the light of Christ that is within you? Find it. It's there. Find the joy. Find the enthusiasm of Christ. Find the power that is within you. Embrace the teachings of Jesus. This is so funny, but you know, I think it was a couple years back, somebody asked me on social media the weirdest question. Why do you always mention the phrase, the teachings of Jesus? Why do you not say the Bible? Why do you not say, just be like God? Why do you always say Jesus? To me, it baffled me. Weirdest question I've ever gotten. Actually, that's not true at all. But it's up there. I've got some weird ones. And I said to the person, I'm kind of confused. Isn't that what this is all about? And the person said, well, yeah, sure, but what about like just follow the Bible? Why not just say, let's be like God? And I said very passionately, no. To be a Christian has a very razor-sharp focus that's very clear. And the razor-sharp focus is that your goal with every day is to be like, to embody the love, the teaching, the peace, the ethics, the challenge, the passion of Jesus. That's what it is. Because guess what? What your spouse needs is not for you to be a better version of yourself. Your spouse needs to see Christ within you. That's what nurtures a healthy marriage. Your children don't need to see you being the greatest parent, the best, you know, whatever, dad and coach and mom and whatever. No, your children need to see the power, the passion, the truth of Jesus Christ in your eyes as you speak to them. Your church doesn't need you to be just a volunteer who fills a position or does this or does that. No, the church needs one another to be the embodiment of Christ to one another. So as we love and serve each other, what's communicated here and what's bonding us together is the essence and presence of Jesus. He is still with us by his Spirit. But we are the ones who carry his Spirit. We are the ones who, by our actions, by our words, we give that presence of God by how we live. But again, for some of us, maybe all of us, we gotta rise and shine, leave the darkness, embrace the light, and allow our lives to be transformed in new ways that maybe the past year never saw. So this morning, we're gonna jump into just six short verses from the book of Isaiah that since the third century, has been read on this day to celebrate and to remember what the birth and life of Jesus kicks off. Because you can't go into the teachings of Christ, you can't go into trying to be like Jesus until you have an epiphany. You need that revelation to spark back in your mind and heart. You need that joy to come back in and allow the Holy Spirit to rekindle that fire. So Isaiah 60, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And I'm only going to go to verse 6, and then we'll just kind of pick back up in a little bit. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Man, that's a good section of scripture to cling to this morning. You see, in clear and concise commands, this prophet Isaiah speaks something, a command that reverberates off the walls of that century to present day, to arise and to shine, to look, to lift your eyes and see. And you see, what they were going through at the time was nothing. I'm sorry. What we go through in our times is nothing compared to what Israel was going through at that time. There's a long list of horrific things that we could list, but we don't need to go into it. It was bad. They were being slaughtered. What does Isaiah speak out? What does God speak through this prophet? Arise and shine. Literally, stand up out of where you've been. Get up. Shine forth what I've given you, children of God. Be who I've called you to become. Show the Gentiles, show the world and all who are going to come to see my presence among you as a people. Arise and shine. Do not be defeated. Do not stay where you are. This is what is being spoken to this nation, this group of people. Could you imagine how hard it would be to hear something like that? A command when you're surrounded by such darkness, by such challenge, and to respond in a way that says, all right, I will arise, I will stand up, I will not allow what's going on to defeat me, I will not allow the pain of whatever to chain me down, I will arise and I will shine who I'm called to be as a child of God. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do. Especially given the circumstances of where they were. But as you see the rest of Isaiah, as you look at the history of Israel, during that time, they actually started to. Israel was always a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. But they responded to the message. Man, that darkness, for them, that was tough. Let's be real for a moment. We can hear a positive, you know, command to arise and shine, and it sounds so good. Sounds like a cliche at times. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know the kind of darkness. You don't know the kind of challenge. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going on. Hey, I get it. It's tough. Life is difficult. All of us have different things that we're battling, right? Just because it's a new year doesn't mean what was doesn't still follow us. It's simply a calendar. I understand that. You know, sometimes when I'm reading the paper, I still do that sometimes. I'm so old. I'll read the paper, all right? And I love just opening it up and seeing what's going on. And, man, I'll sit there and just, I'll close it up real quick. Because you can only take so much of the negative, so much of the destruction, the darkness, the death, the things that are taking place in our world. There will be times where Michelle and I are talking just about life and circumstances and mutual friends and situations taking place. Or, you know, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And it's just, sometimes we'll look at each other and you just know, and we'll both collectively go, oh, like that together. What that is a nonverbal way of expressing, oh my gosh, so much darkness, right? But you see, that's the beautiful part about being a follower of Jesus Christ. All that darkness that surrounds you is within you. All of it can be vanquished because of the bright, shining presence of God's Holy Spirit within you. It's one of those things that maybe you don't believe me. I get it. You know, it's not mental gymnastics. There's real stories of people, even in this room, who have been able to stand and walk and demonstrate the light of Jesus Christ, the love and the presence of His Spirit, even in the midst of difficulty. They've arisen, they have shined forth. It could be done. And that's what God's calling us to do. Look at verse 2 again. I mean, think about this darkness. The darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. The Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. His glory will be seen upon you. One of the greatest things about running outside early in the morning is when you get up right before the sun rises. And on my road, I've got like flat land, so I see a whole view of the sunrise, and it's beautiful. But it's so dark. All the stars are out. You can barely see your feet when you run. But man, when that sun begins to start peeking over that horizon, and you start seeing those rays of sunshine come, it is the most beautiful collision to watch. Because the darkness that was there as I was running is now being consumed by this light of the sun that's not even fully showing yet. And I watch that collision take place, and the darkness just goes away. And it's replaced by a bright, shining sun, mostly in the summer. 1 or 2 days a week, that's about it for Ohio, okay? But man, it's beautiful, and it's inspiring. And I can't think of a better analogy for what your life is meant to be like in this coming year. That no matter where you're at, what you face, you're going to have hardship. You're going to have curveballs. You're going to have things that come and fall into your lap that you didn't see coming. And how are you going to respond? Will you let darkness rob you of everything? Man, aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of negativity, of division, of circumstance rob you of who you're called to be as a child of God? It happens all the time. We live a defeated life. We build up our pity party. We get comfortable and we stay there. My goodness, arise and shine. Your light is dawning. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to walk in a boldness and an authority that the world can't touch. It doesn't mean you're always going to be happy. You're not, but you're going to have joy. That's who you're called to be. Don't buy into this notion from the enemy that because things aren't going the way you want them to go, or because God leads you down a path you didn't see coming, that for some reason you're outside of God's will. For some reason you can't be used by God. That for some reason you gotta just call it quits, close up shop, and descend to this place of living on an island where you're no longer being used for the glory of God. When that happens, the enemy wins. That's not who you're called to be. You're called to arise and shine because your light has dawned. Verse 1, arise and shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You know, I hate saying this, I hate being this honest, but I'm just going to say it. You know, what Isaiah says here is real simple. This message this morning is really simple, but man, is the simplest truth that we need to know right now. When we say arise and shine, what we're saying really is, as followers of Jesus Christ, come back to a place of simplicity, that Jesus is enough. Come back to a place of revelation and epiphany that recognizes that your life, your success, everything that you are bent towards has to be bent towards becoming like Jesus before anything else. Before career, before the perfect family, before whatever shade of off-white picket fence you're trying to build, right? Before all that stuff, it's Jesus Christ and the hope of glory within you. That is number one. But I fear, the longer I've been in ministry, when you're in this position as a pastor, you start to know the scene. Okay, when I say the scene, I mean the church. I love the church. I have friends, right, in the church, pastors, leaders around the country, from seminary and school, different groups I'm in online, and it's hard. I've had to guard my heart because there's times where I've gotten bitter and angry because what I've seen take place is that Jesus is not enough. And so what we need is we need to manufacture things. We need to create environments that get people that high of church. Yeah, this is great. This is awesome. And then they leave and they come back. I need more. What's next? What are you doing, Pastor? Where's the new big thing? What's the new big series? Come on. And the health of the followers of Jesus Christ is no longer hinged on the epiphany and revelation they have of Jesus, but now it's based on the performers that they watch and they wait for. And what happens is the church then is only as great as the charismatic leader, and the people are the ones who suffer. Ephesians 4 tells us that it's the work of the church, the people of God, that are called to change the world, not the leaders. We're servants. But being in this scene long enough, I've seen that, and it has caused me to weep. My goodness, a revelation of Jesus Christ is what you need today and every single day more than any other thing that I or this church could ever give you. A revelation of how loved you are. A revelation of the kind of grace that God wants to lavish upon you. The kind of revelation of holiness that he wants you to walk into. Those kinds of revelations are what happen. And if you find that you're bored, if you find that you can't grab onto that, if you find that that's not enough and you're wondering what the problem is, I encourage you, go look in a mirror and see what the problem is. Acts 3:19, repent, wail, mourn. And what does Peter say? Times of refreshing will come. What do we need? We need to arise and shine to the place where we recognize that all we need is Christ in this life. To live like him, to learn from him, to worship him, to allow the Holy Spirit to form us into his image, to allow the Holy Spirit to use his gifts, his ministries, his infilling power to create within us a new person. You want a New Year's resolution? There you go. Be bent towards that. That's how you arise and shine. That's how you move forward. Being a follower of Jesus Christ. When I think of what Isaiah is trying to communicate, and I look at what Jesus teaches and how, you know, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, what I think God's trying to see happen is his children be formed so maturely, so deeply to the point where all we want now is Christ and Christ alone and nothing else. And that we sniff out substitutes, that we sniff out things that the enemy will try to bring into the place of Jesus. You know, we'll read all these books about from these authors and all these other things, but we'll miss Jesus Christ. We'll try to fellowship with friends and churches and communities and groups, but we won't fellowship with the Holy Spirit like we're supposed to. See, the enemy is deceptive. He'll fill your plate with so many good things, so many things that you think you got to be busy with. But what's happening is that you're forgetting the simplicity of what you're called to demonstrate. The power of God's Spirit within you. A bright, shining light that draws all people to see Jesus within you. That's what we're called to do. One of my favorite verses that Jesus teaches is in Matthew 5:16. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light so shine. You know, growing up in the church, this church was always interesting and challenging. When I graduated high school, I never thought I'd be back to this point where I'm in this community of faith. And it's not bad, I never envisioned it. I always thought just different pathways. And being here now has come really full circle for me in many ways. Because when I think about Arise and Shine and you know, my whole history coming through here and the simplicity of the church's mission here through High Mill, it's come back at looking at the example of Pastor Chuck. You see, my dad would always say this phrase when times were really hard here in our family and at High Mill. This phrase got really annoying over time. Now I get it. "Today is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Literally, when our family was going through the toughest times of our lives, as a 12, 13, 14-year-old child, I'd be sitting in the front seat with my dad, and he'd be driving, and I'd hear him just say this phrase, "Today is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Say it all the time. And at the time, I thought nothing of it. You know, our family was going through just horrendous situations. The church was going through horrible situations. I remember as a child eavesdropping and hearing things that were said about, you know, my dad as the pastor. It blew my mind. It gave me such a bitter taste. It was really hard to see ugliness come from those who were meant to demonstrate Jesus. I still struggle to understand it. Michelle and I are very naive in that way. If you follow Christ, you follow Christ. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. There is no black and white. But always hearing that phrase from my dad growing up always spoke something to me. And when I think about the phrase "arise and shine," I think about the simplicity of just clinging to Jesus above all else. And I watched it growing up. I saw it. The light that he had, even when I think he was on autopilot sometimes, because, man, he'd be on the phone, he'd have like an ice cream cone, somehow we're driving in the car, and he's saying this phrase. He just said it. It just came out. It was within him. You see, he didn't allow the darkness to surround him to the point where he was defeated. He allowed light to shine still through him. That same path is what you and I are called to walk out. To arise and shine. Because people are watching you. Your children might be watching you. Your spouse, your family, your friends. When you get challenges this year, how are you going to respond? When you have crises that fall into your lap, how are you going to respond? Man, shine in those moments. Let Jesus Christ be exemplified by how you respond, how you act. Because that's what's going to reach people. I want to look at one more part of what we read this morning. It says verse 5. "And then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." See, we've talked about arise and shine. We talked about the real darkness that surrounds. But man, look at that promise. The nation of Israel, the people of God, just got the biggest mystery and epiphany of all time in the birth of Jesus. Three men, psychics really, astrologers, they studied the stars. They were drawn to Jesus by what? A bright, shining light in the sky. They came. They bowed before the Son of God. You gotta understand, Mary and Joseph They were Jewish. They were the children of Abraham. And in comes these Persian Gentiles, non-Jews, coming in. Really? Is this what God's up to? The biggest surprise they could ever imagine. The revelation, the epiphany that God's grace, God's freedom, God's salvation is now available for all people. Really? Here's the other part of epiphany that you and I got to remember today as we walk out of here. Your life is meant to be uncanny. You are meant to be not normal. You are meant to be a walking mystery. The way people are drawn to you, I'm being serious here, okay? I'm not asking you to come in here and be like not normal for not normal's sake, but just get what I'm saying here, okay? I should have prefaced that. Who knows what will happen next Sunday now? Your life is meant to be unnormal in a way that because of what is within you, people discern something about you, they can't get enough of it. That the way you serve, the way you give of everything that you have speaks volumes to people, that they're drawn to you. Just like the Gentiles came to the Jewish people into the faith, grafted in. You're going to have circumstances and people and situations that you will find like a magnet coming to you. Why? Because God now can trust you with his authority and his anointing because you have arisen and you now shine. If we stay in darkness, guess what? You stay in darkness. But if you can emerge, if you can get into the Word of God, into prayer, if you can actually serve and be a follower of Jesus, not in just lip service, but doing it, you are going to see opportunity after opportunity come to you that you didn't see coming. Mark my words, January 6th, 2019, by the end of this year, I could ask you, what did God do this year that you didn't see coming that was one of the biggest curveballs? It's going to happen. And what will you do when it happens? I pray that you got your first love and that you respond like Jesus. I'm going to end early this morning. Y'all don't mind that, do you? I want to share a story. My son Caleb is not in here now, so I can share it, I think. He'd get mad at me. See, Caleb and I, we do a lot together now. We've done a lot together all the time, but in discipleship. I'm working really intentionally with him to try to teach him and show him different things about what it means to follow Jesus. You know, he comes with Michelle and I for restoration at times. He's got practices a lot, but we're trying to bring him in to the rhythm of how we serve, how we love people. We bring him in on conversations a lot that are really tough conversations, and we share with him why we're doing this, how we're doing this, because we want him to see with his eyes and hear with his ears what it looks like to follow Jesus. So the other day we were talking, and we just got done doing a small little Bible study. We bought a new book from Books A Million. It's really good, and we were talking about, I didn't think I'd get emotional. We were talking about the challenges of his Nana, my mom, and where she's at. And she's really battling a lot of health stuff. And as we were talking about some other challenges that might, you know, come up in our family. And I laid it all out there for him. I said, Caleb, here's everything that mommy and daddy are looking at. Here's everything that's on the table, you know, of things that we're trying to pray for and to trust God for. And he just looked at it all. And he prayed, and then I prayed, and the way he prayed was so powerful. I got up and I walked out of his room, and as I got around the hallway to go up my stairs, he said, hey, Daddy. I said, yeah, son, what's up? He said, can I say one more thing? I said, sure, what do you got to say? I'll never forget it. He said, I just want you to know that I'm okay with everything that you just said because I think if we do that, or if that's how we live, then maybe people will see Jesus in our family and that maybe people will want to follow Jesus just like we do. And I looked at him, I said, you're right, bud. And no joke, I got around the corner, and I just, like, waterworks. I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh my gosh. But did you catch the dots that Caleb connected? Listen to the simplicity. In his mind, as a child, he recognized that we do things because we're learning from the ways of Christ, the Word of God. And if we do those things, perhaps people will see. And if people see, maybe they will want to follow Jesus just like we do. I can't think of a better illustration to describe what arise and shine means. Arise and shine. Your light has dawned. Why do you still walk in darkness? People are watching and waiting to see Jesus Christ within you. Let Jesus shine by your words, your gentleness of speech, your lack of anger and aggression. Let Jesus shine through the ways of how you exercise self-discipline in lust, in alcohol, in food, everything in life being measured with balance. Let people see Jesus within you because of the ways that you think, your thought life. Let people see Jesus within you because of the enthusiasm and passion you bring into this community of faith. When this worship team sings, the goal is for them not to hear themselves, because the children of God lift their voices so high in worship that they don't matter. And I don't think they would care if I say this, but let me just, real quick, they don't matter. Do we love them? Do they matter? Of course they do. But I think Josh would agree. They don't matter. They're here to lead. What matters is the faith, the passion, the light, the freedom, the joy that rises from our spirit into this atmosphere to sing the praises of God with complete freedom and joy. That's what matters. You see, we got to rise and shine. Let people see Christ in every single way we live this year. And I promise you, your life will not be boring. It'll be challenging, it'll be hard, but man, will it be good. Are you with me? Yeah? Amen. I'm excited for this year. All of you are part of a church family called High Mill. We don't exist just to be here. We exist to move forward in accomplishing kingdom vision. And God's going to be laying that out. But we need to arise and shine first. We need to come back to that first love, the place of simplicity of Jesus Christ or nothing. Amen. Would you stand with me?